Reading today is taken from Revelation 1. It's a short reading, verses 1 to 3. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place, he made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testified to everything he saw, that is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God.
Great, thank you, John, for reading that to us. John's been in the Caribbean this last week, and he and I were texting all about this reading, even though he was on holiday in the Caribbean. And it's great that you came all the way back just to read those few verses. So the last couple of Sundays have been the beginning of our year thinking about the theme, Knowing Jesus Better. And last Sunday was about commissioning our leadership in the church and what it means for leaders and followers to know Jesus better. But we're going to begin today with our first sermon series of the year and looking at the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. And I don't know how you're approaching this series today, what you're thinking, whether you even knew this was happening. Many people think of Revelation in different ways, and we're going to explore that. Today is about just an introduction. And over the next few Sundays, we're going to be thinking a little bit about how Revelation brings us the last word on certain themes. And next week is about the last word on Scripture, in February we're looking at the last word on Christ, and so forth. And then we get to the 23rd of February, and that Sunday's slightly different. We have a break from our series on Revelation, as we have a service committed to celebrating the life of Roe Heath Pavilion as a community. And Catherine, who is the CEO, if that's the right term, of Roe Heath Pavilion, and Doug and Lynn and others will be involved in that service. Among the staff who are here that work in the building throughout the week, they will be invited to that service too. Then on the 1st of March, we have a baptism service, which is wonderful. Rick Davis, I think Rick's around. Put your hand up, Rick. There's Rick. Rick's getting baptized, which is incredible. But not just Rick, but his daughter too, which is fantastic. Emma Davis and Emma Alchin is also being baptized. So if anyone's interested in baptism, please speak to me after the service. That will be an encouragement. So that service on the 1st of March. And then we'll go back into Revelation towards Easter. Easter. There are Easter eggs in the shops, people. They were in the shops like on Boxing Day. What am I talking about? So that's where we're going as we journey together. There are two books that I want to just share with you that I've done a bit of thinking and reading about this in the past few weeks. One is by a person called Eugene Peterson, who wrote the Bible version of The Message, and he's written a book called Reverse Thunder, which a lot of what I'm going to say is from that book. But there's another one, which is on the right of the screen there, by Phil Moore. It's a commentary, 60 bite-size studies on Revelation. That book, if you're in a life group, that book, Dave Baker, Dave's here, he's head of life groups in the church, small groups that meet midweek to discuss about the scriptures. If you're following Revelation as a life group, that commentary by Phil Moore is excellent, and I highly recommend it. It's applicable and approachable to people, whether you're long in faith or have become a Christian recently or just exploring. It's a really helpful commentary. So I recommend those two books to you, but particularly the one on the right. Just thinking about Revelation, when you hear the word Revelation, what do you think? What comes to mind? There are some images, perhaps, that come to mind when we think about the word Revelation. Revelation 6, the four horsemen and the apocalypse. and that imagery of light and darkness and thunder and rage and clouds and weird beasts and all sorts. We could get caught up in that. Or in Revelation 12, there's the language of the woman and the dragon. And if you're into fantasy literature, The Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter or The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, these sorts of things, in the Wilson household, we're split 2 to 3. The two, me and Ben, we love all of that. But the three women in the household don't quite enjoy it so much. It's more, which film do we watch tonight? It's going to be a rom-com. And me and Ben go, oh no, what's going on? We move into another room and watch something completely different. That's how it works in our household. You may be very different. You may love all that sort of fantasy genre. And Revelation, in one sense, conjures up that sort of image. Fantasy and fairy tales. But whilst we might touch on the strange and the odd and the puzzling and the disturbing, I want to just take us down a different road from that. There are many people who have commented on Revelation and thought about Revelation, and they are just like the pushy guides at a tourist site. My nephew, who is 20, he's a great guy. He's trained to be an actor. But on the side, he works in Cambridge at the station. He is a person to avoid. This is on recorded. Sorry, Sam, you're my nephew. But he's the kind of person to avoid because he gets people off the train at Cambridge and says, I want to sell you a trip on a punt. And he's a brilliant person in terms of a salesman. And he is absolutely loaded because he is one of these people that is quite pushy and very outgoing and can get trade. And Revelation is a bit like that. It's like, you know, the salesperson who is tempting you to go down a particular route you don't necessarily want to go down to explore the fantasy here or the image there or the numbers over here. And it takes us on a journey that actually we're not sure is the right direction or the one we want to experience. The number of the beast, the calendar of doomsday, the trumpets and judgments, Sam Burden, the trumpet. He plays a trumpet in this church. We need the trumpet call when we get to that point in Revelation. But judgments, the furniture of heaven and the temperature of hell. Hell and damnation. It's all there in one sense in Revelation, or we gravitate towards it. Hope Patrick Tees doesn't mind me saying this, but he came and visited me when I was in convalescence, recovering from the operation, and he said, with just great excitement, I'm leading a discussion in my life group on hell. And I went, mate, that's great, but have you discussed heaven first? And we got into this discussion about what takes priority. And we can get led into different directions in Revelation that takes us into different places. I love this quote from G.K. Chesterton. Though St. John the Evangelist saw many strange monsters in his vision, he saw no creature so wild as one of his own commentators. You need to be really careful about how you interpret Revelation. What grabs your attention and your interest? What's influencing you? Where are you headed? A lot can be lost in translation. A little bit like this. Sorry, on the screen, it's a little bit small. But very British workplace translations. When we say to someone, oh, I could do, what we really mean in our heads is, nope. Or if you're asked in the workplace, I'll have a look at that in a sec, it means, please go away. There are different ways in which we say things and what we mean by things. And Revelation is about interpretation. So much of Christian debate about ethical issues and other things, it's all about how do we see Scripture? How do we view God in the pages of God's Word? My encouragement to us as a church is that we're not sidetracked. There's a long quote here, I'll read it out to you. Eugene Peterson, in that book, Reverse Thunder, says, I do not read Revelation to get additional information about the life of faith in Christ. I've read it all before in the Law and the Prophets, in Gospel and Epistle. Everything in the Revelation can be found in the previous 65 books of the Bible. The Revelation adds nothing of substance of what we already know. The truth of the gospel is already complete, revealed in Jesus Christ. There is nothing new to say on the subject, but this is the key. There is a new way to say it. I read the Revelation not to get more information, but to revive my imagination. Anyone here really bored of their Christian faith? You're all going to say, no, we're just on fire for Jesus. We are in an amazing place. Never, ever been bored in my relationship with God. Well, perhaps sometimes it gets a bit stale or a bit stagnant, or you're just not sure what's going on in your relationship with God. Revelation is a clarion call that addresses things such as the familiarity of our faith that so often dulls our perception, or the hurriness of our life, the activity of our life that scatters our attention and takes us away from the truth, or the ambition that is so personal that fogs actually our intelligence, or the selfishness that we have inside that restricts our range of vision and understanding of what God's doing in the world around us, or anxiety that we're experiencing robs us of an appetite to see God at work in greater ways. Sometimes our faith can be challenged with familiarity, with a hurried lifestyle, with an ambition that's selfish, with things that are not of God. And God wants to break in and branch out our imaginations to discover him in ever greater ways. So Revelation's most obvious purpose is to wake up. I can see you sleeping. No, you're not. I was going to show a video of my daughter who had the ice bucket challenge. Remember that? A few years ago now, everyone was doing it. Well, most people doing it, not everyone. But it was a brilliant thing of throwing ice over people's heads. Or was it brilliant? Maybe it was a bizarre thing. But loads of people did it. And every time, they were shocked by the experience. Of course they would be. Revelation is about throwing the ice bucket upon the community of God's people and saying, wake up. Be refreshed. Don't be overfamiliar. Broaden your spiritual life. Wake up and learn more about Jesus. Wake up and discover more about what he's done in your life. Wake up and proclaim him. Wake up and stand firm. Wake up and know Jesus as Lord. That's what it's all about. The author, St. John, the evangelist, woke up to a deeper truth of who Jesus is. He knew about Jesus, the child. He had read Matthew, Mark, and Luke's gospel and counted Jesus' half-brothers among his friends. He knew Jesus as a child. He knew Jesus, the man, more than anybody else. He'd been one of the first people to follow Jesus. Chosen from the 12, he later became one of the inner circle of three, a very close companion to Jesus. He knew so much about Jesus' adult life, and he wrote the last of the Gospels. He'd read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then he wrote John. He knew Jesus who was excited, Jesus who was tired, Jesus who was thirsty, Jesus who was sad when he wept over the city of Jerusalem. No one knew Jesus' humanity more than John. Yet Jesus knew that John needed more than this knowledge if he was to live the Christian life to the full. Jesus was known by John in his crucified place and in his risen life. At the foot of the cross, John was there with Mary and the other women in that moment of intimacy where Jesus spoke the last words to them as he died on the cross. John, he ran with Peter to discover Jesus in the empty tomb, and he was empowered by the resurrected Jesus, but still he needed to know more. The revelation was given to this man, John, who knew so much about Jesus, to say, there's more to discover about me. And this is what it was. He began to see Jesus as ascended and heavenly in glory. That's what revelation is about. Saying to John, you knew me as a man on earth. Now know me as glorified and ascended in heaven. Your vision of me has been too personal. May it be broadened out to discover that I am victorious over all creation. It says a little bit later in chapter 1 that John, because of the revelation that came to him, fell at Jesus' feet as though he was dead. He was in that ice bucket challenge moment. He woke up to discover more about Jesus. There is a real danger that unless we see Jesus in the pages of Revelation, we will worship him as he walked on earth yesterday and not as he reigns on earth today. Revelation is as important as the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It doesn't take us down the blind alleys of fantasies and fairy tales and numbers and so forth for just its own sake. It's all about pointing to Jesus as Lord ascended over all creation. Someone put it this way. It's a great tragedy when Christians treat Revelation like a fantasy novel or a secret code. They've completely missed the point. As much as a person who watches the movie Jaws and thinks it's about the beach. We need to understand the centrality of Revelation. It's about Jesus on the throne, majestic, victorious, full of glory, reigning over all creation, sovereign, Lord. Why am I going on about this? Because if we don't get it, our vision is too small. This introduction is about saying we need a greater vision. I want to just end by saying three very brief things about who John was as he wrote this great vision. John is in prison on the island of Patmos. An angel visits him and gives him the vision of Jesus Christ as revealed. And John receives that vision as a theologian. We are all theologians. As soon as anyone says and has a conversation about God, you are a theologian. It's not for the people studying it for mission alone. Every person in this church is a theologian if they start using words about God, for that's what theology means. And John is a theologian. His entire mind is saturated with thoughts of God. He is in the Spirit. Phil prayed to be in the Spirit earlier. John, in chapter 1, says, I am in the Spirit. I am saturated with the mind of God. I am staggered by the vision of God. I am overwhelmed by the experience of God. It is not an over-familiar faith. It says, I am open to the experience of what God's doing in my life. And he offers himself in service as a person that speaks about God. In such a way that God is not reduced or packaged, not simply known in his completeness, but God is said and uttered in a way that is reverent, that is holy, and that is discovering deeper truths. John's thinking, John's theology, didn't take place in the wonderful comfort of a library upstairs or in the safety of your own home in that favourite armchair where you're doing your Bible study. That's not where theology was done. Theology was done on his knees, in pain and in suffering, in a place of persecution and neglect. Great theology is done in the depths, not in the safety of a library. Great theology is done in the middle of the world, in the thick of the action, not in some lofty tower. Secondly, he was a poet. John wrote this in poetic form. There are different ways in which books of the Bible are written. Some are letters, but this is poetry. Hands up if you like poetry. Wow. A lot of people like poetry. Well, if you like poetry, you're going to love Revelation. There are some people in this church who don't like poetry. Still try and get into Revelation. John writes this in poetic form. I don't know whether you know what poem means, but it means maker, to make something. And Revelation is to be read as a poem. A poet uses words not to explain something and not to describe something, but to make something. I'm no good at poetry, nor am I any good at DIY. Revelation is a real challenge to me. But poetry here is about St. John being given a revelation to make something happen. Not just for people to receive and hear, but for people's lives to be changed, transformed, to be different. Poetry is the language of imagination. It makes an image of reality in such a way as to invite participation in it. Don't go from church today going, I heard a sermon today, it went on, and Matt was talking about some very big things in Revelation. That's not the point. The point is to go from church today being different, experiencing God in new ways. We do not have more information after we read a poem. We have more experience. That's what poetry is about. It's appropriate that a poet has the last words of the scriptures. Because by the time we get to the last book of the Bible, we already have a complete revelation of God in it. The first 65 books reveal who God is. The 66th book is a poetic license to go deeper into that relationship. The 65 books are everything to do with our salvation, everything to do with instructions of how to live the Christian faith. We are fully informed. But John says, I want to show you in a new way something of the grand nature of God. Poetry is used and offered to us so that our relationship with God may be more intense than ever before. I love this. He's not using poetry, words, to get us to think more accurately or train us to be better in our behavior. Sorry to disappoint you. But he's using poetry to get us to behave more recklessly, believe more recklessly and behave more playfully. The faith recklessness and hope playfulness of children entering the kingdom of God. We need not to sit in our pews. We need to get down with the kids and play with the toys in order to enter the kingdom of God. Poetry jars us out of lethargy, gets us to live on the alert, banishes boredom of the gospel, and lifts our heads and enlarges our hearts to see Christ as victorious. And lastly, he's a pastor. This revelation is given to him in prison to a suffering community. He says in verse 9 of chapter 1, I'm a companion suffering and sharing in the challenges that you face. He is a pastor acutely aware of what it means to follow God living in the middle. You know, the beginning of the scriptures, Genesis, is all about goodness. God created this and it was good. God created that and it was good. God created man and male and female and they were very good. Goodness. Revelation at the end is all about goodness. A new heaven and a new earth. Everything will be put right, people. Everything. But in between, we live in the challenge of the middle. The middle. We hope the middle's okay. It's good. It should be good, like the beginning and the end. But it's not. I don't know about you, unless you're like me. But sometimes in the middle, we are rejected in our relationships. We're fragile in our identity. We're discriminated against in our workplace. We even lose our jobs. We're injured and we're harmed. Things happen to us that are not of God, perhaps. There is disease and disappointment. We struggle and we stress and we strain in this life of the middle ground. The pastor is the person who journeys with people in the middle to say, have faith in it. The pastor seeks to guide people to make sense of the middle. And that's what John the Evangelist is doing. Revelation will take us on a journey to know what it means for God to reveal his purposes in our lives in ever greater ways. But that journey will lead us and call us and invite us to become a worshipping people in deeper ways still. The message of Revelation is to wake up so that I don't quit. Anyone ever felt like giving up? Revelation is a clarion call to say, come and be with Christ, who reigns in your life and in the life beyond you. Amen. Let's take a moment just to be still before we have communion. And maybe hear these words. In the middle of my life, Lord, there is pain that no one else knows apart from you. In the middle of my life, Lord, there are attempts to hide my suffering, but you alone know. In the middle of my life, Lord, there is vulnerability, and I confess at times the desire to quit, but you know. Lord, in my life, in the middle of my life, there is insecurity and loss, there is pain and there is injury, but you know. You are a God with a pastor's heart. You are the God of poetry that is calling us into a new way. You are the God who makes sense of beginning and end, and in between you meet us. You are the God who brings hope when there is despair, love where there is hatred, and community when there is isolation. You are the God who whispers to us in Revelation, don't quit. Fall on your knees and trust me. I am Lord over your circumstances. All will be well. I am the beginning and the end.